You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
1 o'clock hour here on a Thursday. Cody and Gold hanging out. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to Professor Tapp here in 8-10 minutes or so.
Two lessons. Short
what?
Lesson.
Hold on, wait. One.
The first one's a short lesson.
You trying to make up for missed time? That's, it's your fault, not our fault.
Short lesson.
All right.
And then the real one. Okay. The more important one.
Plus, earlier today, Danan Hughes joined us. We had a good conversation about college football and Chris Klieman with him. Plus, of course, what the Texans offense looks like and how the player's mindset has to be as a backup potentially coming in to start like an offensive lineman against the Texans. So that's coming up if you missed our conversation. Good stuff from Danan here in about a half hour or so after what's trending. But we start with the reality, of course, which is the Chiefs are on the verge of missing the playoffs if they don't find a way to win their final five games in all likelihood. And Jeff Saturday was on ESPN, the former Colt, and he was talking about how he, and he thinks others, will view Patrick Mahomes, you know, differently if, in fact, the Chiefs miss the postseason.
We have all, including myself, and still do, think he is probably the best that's ever done it to this point in his career. It has been a remarkable watch what he's been capable of doing and what he has done for this franchise. But we can't act like that he hasn't been part of the issues that have happened with the Chiefs. He's thrown more interceptions late in games and done things that have just, and we talk about it, we're like, it's just, that's just not normal for Patrick Mahomes. Now, he doesn't have a run game. There's a lot of things. The offensive line hasn't been as good. There's a lot of reasons. It's not excuses. There are reasons. But I think when you looked at Patrick Mahomes, everybody just thought, we just throw whatever we want, and this guy's always going to get us to the Super Bowl, and that's been the expectation. And the problem for me is it's not that we made the playoffs. You're talking about if they don't make the playoffs. You still have a little less than a third of the season left over. If we don't make the playoffs, that means we are in a spiral, which would be shocking to me. But if they did miss the playoffs, it would make me look at Patrick Mahomes differently because I just wouldn't expect a player in the prime.
As I was listening to him, I still can't get over the fact that he was an interim head coach in the middle of a football season not too long ago. But anyway,
that's weird.
Yeah. Look, I think if you want to expand it to the GOAT conversation, Brady and Mahomes, there's no doubt that
it's the only way.
Missing the playoffs will be part of that conversation and should be. That's fair. If you're trying to suggest, though, and I don't know if he was, that Mahomes missing the playoffs this year, if in fact that happens, that it means that Josh Allen is that much closer or Lamar or Burrow or it changes that conversation of the current NFL quarterbacks, I firmly disagree with that. He won an AFC title or went to an AFC title game, I'm sorry, in his first year, won a Super Bowl in his second year as a starter, lost the Super Bowl in his third, went to an AFC Championship game in year four and lost, won in year five, won in year six, and of course last year went to a Super Bowl in a three-peat campaign and lost. And now if they miss the playoffs, I'm supposed to judge him differently?
This would be the worst case, in my opinion, of selective memory in the history of the NFL. The previous three seasons before this one, he was in the Super Bowl.
And won two
all
of them.
Three
won
of
two
the
of them.
Season. So what are you telling me? In a four-year span, he won a Super Bowl, lost a Super Bowl, missed the playoffs, and you're like, well, I don't know about missing the playoffs. Well, that's pretty bad. You're like, get the hell out of here. And I guess the point I want to point, like, even in the larger scale conversation, the Tom Brady one, if you go through the age 30 season, age 31 season, age 32 season, because I can just promise you right now, the numbers are actually going to favor Patrick Mahomes over the next couple age. This season will help Tom Brady, and some things will even up in the, like, career numbers, because this is the year Tom Brady went 16-0, his age 30 season. The following season, he didn't play at all because he was hurt. The year after that, he went 10-6. Made the playoffs and lost in the wild card round and was not very good. Their team was not very good. And then after that, he was very good. Quarterbacks are allowed, and I can find the one for Peyton Manning too. Two of his first five seasons weren't very good. Do you want me to find the average seasons for everybody? Because otherwise it's just kind of exhausting and I don't want to point it out. As far as the quarterbacks in the rest of the league, what about, and this is I think the biggest part of the conversation for the rest of the league, what about his contemporaries? The people he is in the league against right now has blown you away. Lamar Jackson is 6-6 and on the verge of missing the playoffs himself. Josh Allen is having a down year by Josh Allen standards. He's not going to win his division. And actively, they are in the playoffs, but barely.
Yeah, they're probably a wild card.
But they're the 7th seed, so let's not pretend like their season's been a runaway. Joe Burrow's team is 4-8, and he's been hurt again. Those are his active contemporaries. So unless you're ready to tell me you think Drake May is a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes, well, then there is no variation in what you think about him. I'm sorry. So unless it's a big scale thing and you want to make it about Mahomes versus Brady, there is no point in having this conversation. It shouldn't change your opinion on what he is as a quarterback at all. I would argue he's been better in the last couple of years anyway.
Statistically, and in some of the, you know, the deeper numbers, he has been better. And that's what adds to the frustration of this entire season, that this is a year Mahomes is better than he was than last year. They're going to win, I don't know, 10 games maybe this year, hopefully 11, but, you know, 10 games this year, and they won, of course, 15 in the regular season a year ago. Yeah, to me, this year should not change how anybody views the current crop of those. Now, if Drake May goes to the Super Bowl, then we will view Drake May differently. But in the conversation of who Mahomes is directly compared to, as you said, Allen, Burrow, Lamar, it shouldn't change that. I do think when the career is over, this is why I've told you after the Bucs Super Bowl, frankly, the Mahomes-Brady debate, greatest of all time, once that happened, I said, we got to put a pause on this for a decade. So now, I guess, for another 7 years, if we go back to when we talked about this or whatever. And I don't think that's a debate, frankly, anybody in Kansas City should want to have right now. It's not going to be pretty for you right this second. Also,
unless you're comping through this age.
Right, because we know the end numbers for Brady. We don't know the end numbers for Mahomes yet. Let's see where they end up. I don't know. Is Mahomes never going to go to a Super Bowl again, never win another one? All right, well, he ends up with three. Is he going to go to three or four more and win two more? Well, that changes the conversation. Suddenly, he's at five, and then it's a lot closer. The head-to-head thing was a big deal. That's why the whole three-peat campaign last year would have been so massive if they would have accomplished it, because that was something Brady didn't even do. So these are all things that add up, I think, in the conversation. Missing the playoffs this year will be part of it, but only if he also misses multiple playoffs again, Cody, right? Like, if this is the year he misses the playoffs and he doesn't miss the postseason again the rest of his career, well, then this is just a blip and it doesn't matter. If he stacks up postseasons that he misses all of a sudden, then that's different. But one, he's not eliminated yet for the postseason this year. And if he is, it's going to be one time, and you laid out what he had done the first 7 years of his career, which is still better than what Brady did the first seven.
Yeah, I think that really, if you start going through it and, I mean, really pay attention to it, like, and this is always goes back to the same thing. Tom Brady, I mean,
yeah,
he didn't win a Super Bowl in his 30s, right?
I just think that someone said, you guys are missing the point from Saturday. Mahomes has been in a class of his own for the last 7 years. What most people are saying is this puts him more in the Manning Breeze class, extending the pause on the GOAT convo. Well, that's what I just said. I put a pause on the GOAT conversation after the Chiefs lost head-to-head to Tom Brady. And the only way, I remember saying this last year in January, we had the conversation about the three-peat.
Yeah,
I said, I'll reopen that immediately if the Chiefs three-peat, because that's something Brady did not do. Well, that did not happen. And so, yeah, it is that. So it is pause for me. I don't think anybody should be, frankly, today or even a year ago until the Super Bowl, trying to make the argument that Mahomes has surpassed Brady as the GOAT. He hasn't, frankly. I know we're in Kansas. He's not. Not right if this second. On December 4th, 2025, Brady is the only answer.
And I think that, like,
but the career's not over yet.
Yeah, more talented versus greatest career.
Absolutely.
The answer is different than that, obviously. But to the career point, it'd be the same selective memory I just said he's maybe having about Patrick Mahomes being in three straight Super Bowls and five of the last six before that moment. Because that's the part that I can't erase. Because if I just say to now, well, then I can just pretend like Tom Brady didn't play in his 40s. Because here's the truth. He won a bunch of those Super Bowls. When he got into his late 30s and early 40s is when he started putting those things on paper and actually winning those things out. Because up to that point, he had gone like age 30 to 35, 36. He didn't do anything. And then he started winning them a bunch when he was in his late 30s and early 40s again, and that's where he stacked up a bunch of rings. That's the problem Mahomes is always going to have. You can't count on playing until you're 43, winning a Super Bowl against a different team when you're 43. You are going to have to always play ahead. He's going to play ahead in all the statistics. Yardage,
the stats are
going to
be in his favor. Nobody's debating that.
But in the Super Bowls, he's going to have to play ahead. As in, he's going to need two in the next 5 years, so he's two Super Bowls ahead before his late 30s even hit in there. He's going to need to not play catch up, but instead play ahead and then try to get one late in his career. Try to get one later. This one season means nothing for his
life. But I will say this. In this past June, there were a lot of talking heads nationally that were saying Josh Allen is, you know, better than Mahomes.
Yeah.
If Josh Allen is a wild card team and they lose in the divisional round or something like that, and Mahomes misses the playoffs, I don't know how anybody, based on what we saw from Josh Allen's play this year and not winning his division either, trying to have this year have Allen surpass Patrick Mahomes, the only way people will make that argument, and I'll disagree with it, but I think they would have a strong case in the short term, would be if you tell me Josh Allen's a wild card, he sneaks in Cody, and he finally gets to a Super Bowl and he wins one. Then there will be a ton of noise on even the present day conversation again about Mahomes and Allen. But if Josh Allen doesn't get to a Super Bowl this year, and even if Mahomes misses the playoffs, that doesn't leapfrog Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion. Where it gets complicated is if Josh Allen gets to a Super Bowl this year and wins a ring. And that seems far-fetched right now.
Yeah.
I don't think the Bills are that good.
And that was the same thing that I mentioned with Ross Tucker, where it's way more damning to Josh Allen's. Let's say Patrick Mahomes missed the playoffs. But Josh Allen loses in the wild card round. You want me to tell you whose legacy is hurt more this season? It ain't the guy who missed the playoffs.
If Drake May or Trevor Lawrence or somebody surpasses him this year in the postseason.
If Josh Allen loses in the wild card round and literally any other quarterback gets to the Super Bowl out of the AFC, it's way more damning to Josh Allen, a guy who has zero Super Bowl rings, zero Super Bowl appearances, a single MVP, than it is to Patrick Mahomes to miss one playoff run. He was in the Super Bowl five of the previous six seasons. And I still haven't even ruled out the idea the Chiefs make the playoffs. So, like, that part is still holding in there. And if he lost in the wild card round, that'd be no different than Tom Brady when he was 32 and he was 10-6 and lost in the wild card round. At the time he lost to, and people point this out, lost to Mark Sanchez in a divisional round. Great quarterbacks have bad playoff runs. That's what's made Patrick Mahomes' career so remarkable to this point. Is it to this point he gets to the AFC title game? And he's lost a couple of them, sure. He lost one to Joe Burrow, yeah. He lost one to Tom Brady, yeah. Every other time, he went to the Super Bowl. And yeah, lost a couple of those, too. But that's it. In every AFC run, he's lost two AFC title games. One, to what we are saying, is at this moment, the single most decorated quarterback who's ever lived. And one, to Joe Burrow, we largely agree, is one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL, unless you want to ding him for the injury stuff this year, and then in which case he's at worst a top 10 quarterback in the league. And then he lost a couple of Super Bowls, one to, again, the greatest, most accomplished quarterback of all time, and one to Jalen Hurts.
Welcome to the classroom. Whether it's cooking lessons, singing lessons, or how to commit a heist, this guy wants to teach you what he knows. Well, what he thinks he knows. It's not Cody to you. It's Professor Tapp.
All right, we got two lessons today for Professor Tapp. I know somebody already said, well, I'll be skipping class again today. Can't handle one lesson, let alone two. Real class is getting ready to wrap up, so I don't know when Professor Tapp ends. Real class wraps up next Tuesday for me, so students are nearly wrapped up. First lesson, and this is a quick one, and then we'll get to the real lesson for the day. The first quick lesson is, I'm going to give some real teaching advice. You got kids who are in college, you got kids who are in high school, or you yourself as a student, I want to give actual professor advice, and a very simple one. I warned the class the very first week of the semester, and I'm already running into it again. I do not accept blanket excuses at the end for why all your work's not turned in. I'll make this very simple. Communicate. If you have things going on in your world that prevent you from turning in work, I would recommend mentioning that before the end, where you try to use one blanket excuse right at the end and you're like, oh, sorry, life got the better of me. May I turn in the 15 missing assignments that I've been ignoring this entire semester and get all caught up? Their finals are due next Tuesday. Gold. Next Thursday, I think, for real, before I got to turn in grades in a couple of weeks. No blanket excuses. All I'm saying is that if you're a student, that ain't any good.
Cody, that is a ridiculous statement.
Have you ever, were you the kid who used to email the professor? I'll tell you right now, my professor email inbox.
Oh, I mean,
ratcheting up right now. Not with questions, concerns.
Not for an excuse, but towards the end of semester, if I was fringe, you know, you were at a, you know, if you were at a
89%,
yeah, like you, I absolutely would email like, hey, is there anything I can do to get this up to an A? Absolutely. Why wouldn't I?
Sure.
But you're describing somebody that's got like a D and hasn't shown up to class all semester.
And
that's a different thing.
How can I make good on all of this? I'm like, do you have reasonable expectations for what you can get this grade up to? Because if it's a, how do I get this to an A from the current F? The answer is that ain't going to happen. You better figure out
what reasonable grade. I hope the student's not listening. He's screwed.
I'm just talking about in general. I'm just talking in general.
He or she is screwed.
Every semester, there's one or two students who do less work than the rest. And then at the end are like, hey, I thought I was in pretty good shape. You're like, by missing a third of the semester? I don't know what part of you was convinced that was going
to work out.
You're just
a hard ass to these kids,
huh? Not a hard ass.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you, and I tell students this too. If you physically show up to my class and turn in the work, you're at worst probably have a B in my class right now. You just physically are there and turn in something that resembles work. You probably have a B in my class right now. If you do less than that, then you're probably in trouble. Let's get to the real lesson. One that was important for this week, and Gold, I think that you will probably agree with, and I'll even allow for some classroom discussion. You ever have a class where classroom discussion was important?
Oh, yeah.
We get into this? Mm-hmm. Today's lesson is on how to drive in the snow. And I'm going to give five or six quick things that I think are very important that you need to handle, and you guys can tell me if you think anything missing. First, clean off your car. Get all that snow off your car. That's first and foremost. Can't be driving around with 6 inches of snow on the top, making it more hazardous for every single human being. The second most important thing I think while driving in the snow is momentum is your friend. If you are halfway up a hill, you are not stopping. You are continuing to move forward and drive. If you know there's a stoplight at the top of the hill, you got to time this out different. You got to space this thing out. You got to try to give space between you and the driver. Momentum is important, Gold. Do not stop your car unless you have to stop your car. Another quick tip I have as it relates to this is I would say before the snowstorm impends, fill up your gas tank. You don't know if you're going to get stuck. Yesterday, Ginny over at the Wolf got stuck 3 hours on I-35.
I feel like you're just reading me a graphic from like Channel 9 at like 6 o'clock news where they just gave winter tips for 2025.
Now here's the other one that I don't think people pay enough attention to. If you are the person, and there was somebody like this on my drive home on Tuesday, I think it was. If you are the person who has your hazards on, going 13 miles an hour off the highway, get off the road! Don't even leave the house! You're driving me nuts! You're going to get us all killed because you can't even drive in this. Keep your ass at home if you're the person driving 13 miles an hour on the highway with your hazards on. Don't even get on the roadways. You don't even belong with the rest of us who actually know what we're doing driving on the road.
They're trying to alert you that they're not, you know, driving
get
at a normal speed.
Off the road. You should not be driving anywhere. You don't know how to do it. There was legitimately someone going 12 miles an hour the other day. I thought every single person was going to have a problem trying to, like, they were slowing up all of traffic.
The biggest one I agree with is, if you can't see out your rear view, you know, the rear window of your car because you got snow piled up, you got to wipe that off. I don't care if you don't have a scraper or not. You even have to, if you have to use the coat and the side of your arm to scrape it off, so be it. You can't be driving around with not being able to see at all behind you.
Yeah, people are great. They'll leave so much snow on their car.
And then, of course, it flies nuts off and gets on your, you know, on your window or whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
I agree with you on that part. The hazard thing.
I don't want to teach you how to turn
into
a
skid. They're trying to, you know, if it's foggy out or if it's bad weather, they're trying to alert you that they're in front of you.
It's more about the speed and the but it's always that person who's going like 8 who has the hazards on. It's the same person. I'm not going to try to teach you how to steer into a skid or those kinds of things. Just don't panic, okay? Can't just start jerking the wheel around hoping that you solve the miracle issue. That's not going to do it. Gentle movements. Gentle.
True. Your thoughts?
You can't look like someone, Sam Darnold in a playoff game.
Your thoughts as someone that is actively shopping for a car, unfortunately, because of an accident.
It was not because of the snow, though.
No.
But yes, I do agree with a lot of that stuff. typically, the only time that I drive with the hazards on is if, well, one, there's a problem, but two, if it's raining like really hard and it's difficult to see in front, I'll have the hazards on. If it's snowing, it depends. Like, if I was driving the other day when it was snowing pretty badly while we were doing the show, if I was driving, I might have the hazards on. If it's foggy and it's harder to see, then yeah. But I think there's levels to it. If you're going 13 on the interstate, I assume?
Yes, this is the highway.
Yeah.
And this was after.
You probably just need to pull over.
Yeah, you just need to not be on the road. If you're driving like
that too, I suppose.
And maybe they got a job that wasn't going to allow them to be out. Maybe you need to like get a friend to drive you or something. You can't be on the road. You're going to actively cause problems for the rest of us.
Someone says Gold is probably getting snow horny this year so he can show off the new F-150. I told you I enjoyed the weather I was looking forward to. And right now I am in an F-150 thanks to Shawnee Mission Ford. So, yes, I I have enjoyed driving.
You were very excited that it was snowing.
I was. I'm not even kidding. Yeah. I was very excited when I saw the weather forecast. I was like, yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so I got a text in from another note. Somebody also says,
huh?
Kevin says, keep your tires not bald. Make sure you got fresh tires.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, by the way, year round. How about we apply that to How about we apply that to year round?
You think that's just good all the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone says, Cody's really complaining about the hazards when he is the one that has cruise control set on side streets.
But I'm not if there are other people around.
And if you're going the speed, if you get your cruise set at 40 and a 40, then fine. Or 37 and a 40, then that's fine.
Going the speed.
If you got cruise control on 13 on a 70, then that's a big issue.
I just think there's people who look like they're white knuckling so bad that they look, I mean, like, they drive so slow, they're causing a problem.
Right.
They're the ones who stop instead of keep momentum. Like, they eventually, in a weird way, I'd almost rather you just drive like completely reckless than drive that person.
Jeez. Okay. All right.
I'd almost rather you be the person going 60. I'm like, boy, that person taking a risk here.
Text line 913-586-7965. This lesson, someone said, started very studious and then quickly turned into a Bink level advice. Love it.
Got angry, I guess, you know. That's the lesson. It's a lesson for today. Do the lessons stop when the semester ends?
Yes.
But I teach next semester.
Then you start it back up.
Oh, okay, great.
We need a break,
winter
too.
Winter break?
We need a winter break as well.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, then next week's the final. So you guys got to be prepared for that.
I don't remember half the lessons you've given.
Next week's the final.
Oh, the one about the K-pop BS or whatever.
Do you remember what the celebratory thing that was called that they're trying to...
Huh?
Do you remember...
I don't remember any of them.
So you don't remember the Han Moon?
No. No.
Do you remember a single character? Do you remember a song?
The one that's on the radio a bunch.
Golden?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
That one.
I don't know if Drew took notes for that one. He might be able to go back. Open book.
I could go back and find some notes. I will say I have, since you brought it up, I have seen that being mentioned more often.
My youngest nephew now, all of a sudden, Cody, he was singing this Golden the other day. So now I'm hearing it more.
Yeah. Okay. It's a very, obviously, K-pop Demon Hunter stuff was very popular.
Yeah.
One of the most popular pop culture things this year.
All right. Up next, we'll get to what's trending, get you caught up on what's going on in the sports world. And then earlier today, Danan Hughes joined us. We asked him about the state of college football a little bit, his connection with Chris Klieman, and more importantly, I guess, Bill Snyder actually going back to his playing days. And then the wide receiver room in Houston. What does he make of Nico Collins and what the Chiefs are going to have to do? That's coming up right here on Cody and Gold.
Get off the road!
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo, it'll create a custom website, it'll write social posts for you, and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on what's trending, Chiefs holding practice again today. Same story on the injury front. That means Trey Smith, Juwan Taylor, not at practice today. We already know Josh Simmons is an IR. So we're going to be heading into Friday. And to this point in time, no practices for Taylor or Smith. Don't like that. Heading into tomorrow and heading into a game on Sunday night against the Texans defense.
No, that's always terrifying for a number of reasons, but obviously their defense specifically being the biggest reason. Next up on what's trending, Thursday Night Football tonight. Dallas at Detroit. We already told you about the somewhat seems like free money happening over on the Missouri side.
Yeah, you want to log into your FanDuel and DraftKings accounts. Not even kidding. You go in, you'll notice there's super boosts going on. A point being scored tonight kind of stuff. Even money. Max bet $50. It literally is free money. And just withdraw the money and go home. You know?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. But obviously a huge game for both. Playoff implications for both. Both teams would be expected to drop below 20% playoff probability, but would stay above 50, 60% with a win. So it kind of feels like the Chiefs-Texans games on Sunday, it's do or die for these two teams tonight.
In the NBA, the big story right now is around Giannis Antetokounmpo, the star player there with the Bucks. One, he's now hurt. He's out 2 to 4 weeks with a calf strain. But prior to that, his agent, people around him were already talking with the Bucks, saying, yeah, it's time to go. He wants to be traded. He wants out of Milwaukee, according to reports. So we'll see how this develops over the next month plus. But in all likelihood, his time in Milwaukee is going to come to an end. Maybe it's not till the offseason. We'll see. But the Bucks don't have many draft picks. They're paying Damian Lillard a lot of money over the next couple of years, really not to play. That roster is not going anywhere. And so Giannis, being the player he is, the leverage he has, a lot of people think he's going to end up getting traded. And speculation is out there about where, who has the right compensation. Everybody's looking at San Antonio, and the Knicks are the two teams to focus in on right now.
Next up on What's Trending, people were saying they thought there was a chance Colin Klein would be expected to be named the K-State head coach as early as today. Obviously, that hasn't taken place yet. Could be a press conference later in the week. All expectations still is that he'll be the next head coach of K-State. Keep an eye out for the news, as he still could be announced as the head coach pretty much any moment.
Lastly on What's Trending, tomorrow is FIFA World Cup 26 draw day. We're going to find out what group everybody is, all the countries are in. Give us a little more clarity on potentially who's coming to Kansas City. We won't know officially on that till Saturday, but tomorrow we'll carry at least the portion involving Kansas City and U.S. on the show. So a big day. Messi, still non-committal. He's going to play for Argentina in the 2026 World Cup. Certainly hope that's the case. That'd be a lot of fun. But tomorrow, one step closer to the World Cup excitement, about 188 days or so away. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, he'll be part of the broadcast Sunday night right here on 96.5 The Fan, along with Mitch Holthus and Josh Klingler. We started our conversation, though, talking a little college football because Danan played at Iowa. His OC at the time was Bill Snyder. Wanted to ask him about the state of college football and what he makes of Chris Klieman stepping down.
Well, first, I want to give a nod to Chris Klieman. I actually called several of his games with the Missouri Valley Football Conference, which is like the SEC of the SCS. If you're not familiar with North Dakota State, South Dakota State, North Dakota, all those schools, UNI, that is the cream of the crop of that division of football. He did a great job, obviously, transitioning to K-State, and I wish the best for them. You guys know Bill Snyder was my offensive coordinator in college, so I've always had an affection for K-State Wildcat football, and one of my close friends, Kevin Lockett, and his boys go there as well. Sure. So, yeah, I think the nature of college football, and I agree with you guys. I was listening earlier in regards to, like, how many teams is enough? And when do you get to a point where, okay, it was four. First it was two, and you had the BCS. Then you had four. Now you're increasing. Like, there's always going to be that outlier of one team or two teams that can argue to be in the field. We see that with college basketball. And the NCAA tournament. So I don't think football would be any different. It's just a matter of setting the standards and the, you know, trying to address the elephant in the room in regards to, do you want the 12 teams or do you want the 12 teams based on being the best in their conferences and beating the best teams? What representative or what representation do you really want for a college football playoff system? I guess for me, I mean, if you're in a conference that happens to have three of the best teams in college football and you've lost to two of them, I don't think that that should make you automatically one of the top 12 teams. If there's a team in the Big Ten or in the ACC that has run the table and has done it in dominant fashion, you can only schedule who you can only schedule. So I guess I'm of the school of thought that conferences matter, records matter, encouraging teams to play head-to-head, I do understand matters, even though we got this dynamic with Notre Dame and who they play early.
Miami.
In the season. Miami, yeah, Notre Dame and Miami. I understand that factor, but there's been a lot of football since that game. And just because they both end the season with the same record, like, August was a long time away. So I get it. It's almost an impossible predicament for the selection committee. And I don't know what's the right system to implement. I just think that conference should matter. Otherwise, do away with the entire conference and just have a free-for-all. Everybody play whoever and then choose from there. But then there's going to be, you know, the power ratings comes into play of, you're not playing these, you know, cupcake non-conference games, and teams are being able to, based on their preseason ranking and the fact that they didn't do anything to lose a ranking, but they may not have done anything to gain in ranking, will put them over the top. So it's a convoluted system. I get it. But it's broken. The NCAA is broken. I think there needs to be a union representative or representation with players, regarding the NIL and structure, but that's a whole nother topic we can discuss another time.
Let's talk about the Chiefs on Sunday. Obviously, we know every single week you come on, they're essentially in a must-win situation. We knew if they could lose a game, the Cowboys was one they could afford. The Texans game is not. I guess let's start with the offensive line. Do you think they will adjust their game plan to protect Patrick Mahomes better? This season, they have not done that a lot. Even in games, they lose at least start doing kind of the same thing, Danan. How do you think they'll handle the Texans' pass rush?
So here's my mindset, guys, and it may be I may be in the minority. Everybody's got a job to do. Everybody gets paid. And whether you are second on the depth chart, fourth offensive lineman, a rookie, a journeyman, a versatile offensive lineman that rotates from position to position, you get paid every Monday, and you got a job to do. Go do it. And I don't think the recipe for success is catering to what you may assume is a weakness, and then you're actually putting your entire offense in jeopardy, because when you start chipping with extra tight ends or you start rotating extra tight ends in, what do? That's one less player that's downfield that's able to go out for a pass route and be a viable source for Patrick Mahomes. So I know convenient thinking is leave a running back in, help the offensive lineman. Leave a tight end in, chip a defensive lineman or a rusher off. Okay, how often do you do that? When do you do it? Do you only do it on first down? Do you do it on third and long? Like, you get where I'm going with it? Like, I think it really just comes down to we're paying you to do a job. If you can't do a job, we'll find somebody else to do the job in case this happens next year or later in the season. And I feel like as a player, like, I don't want to go into the game thinking I'm handicapping the team and thinking that you're changing up game plans. Like, I've been a part of the game plan for 14 weeks. I've watched you, Matt Nagy and Andy Reid, stand up in front of the team and present what we're going to do as a unit that's going to be a winning performance. I can tell that if I came in this week, you all of a sudden catered something, and then you don't believe in me, and you're not giving me an opportunity to earn my money and showcase my skills, because I do believe as a player, I'm just as good as everybody else. Like, you don't believe you're less than.
Sure.
So then how are you able to showcase that? So I guess that's a long-winded answer to basically say, you get paid, go out there and earn your money.
So it totally makes sense. What about though, like from a, I guess what I would, as you're talking there, what came to mind was, while that might be the case for the player, as a coach, though, is there not some responsibility, whether it's in-game or going in? Like, if I as the coach, though, feel like, hey, this player's strength or weakness is going to not allow us to do blank, I need to, you know, I don't know, move the pocket a little bit more to roll out to the right more, or whatever it may be, is that not still, though, absolutely something as a coach I have to be responsible for, as much as the player might want to prove that they're not going to have a drop-off?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the game plan is the game plan, and we've seen, even with a full, healthy offensive line, we've seen Patrick Mahomes move the pocket. We've seen him roll to the right and run that sprint right option type of route. We've seen him roll halfway to the right and throw back deep across the field and utilize Xavier Worthy's speed. We've seen all of those different manipulations of the offense. My point is that let's continue to do that. Mm-hmm. And then in-game adjustments are, you know what, today is his day. And that dude, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr., they are eating my lunch. Okay, now we can make the adjustments within the game. I just don't like the idea, and I feel like from a player's perspective, you have been in those meetings and in the game planning sessions, and now all of a sudden we're – you know, like, let's say, for instance, when I played, if I was getting the start because guys were down and we were a run and shoot, throw the ball all over the lot, and now all of a sudden because Damon's starting, we're going to run the ball, that would be something that I don't think would be adopted very well by not just me, but by any of the players on the offense. Because now you're saying we're in a severe hole and this guy is hampering us and we can't do what we do. So I get the in-game adjustments are a part of every game plan. series to series, not just halftime. But I don't like the idea of, okay, we've had this mini bye since we played on Thursday. We kind of knew that these offensive linemen would probably not be available. We knew Josh Simmons was going to be on IR. Let's go ahead and cater this game plan against the Houston Texans in this fashion. I feel like it would be a little bit demoralizing to the rest of the guys.
What about the Texans offense? You know, we've understandably so focused so much on this dominant defense, but offensively, I mean, CJ Stroud has missed games. Even when he's played, he's been average. Hasn't looked like the guy a couple years ago that looked like he was going to be a top five, top 10, you know, quarterback in this league. Nico Collins has been banged up, but he looks like a stud. What do you make of the offense of the Texans?
I feel like their identity with D'Amico Ryans has been defense and offense. Don't screw it up. Like, that's pretty much been the recipe for success since their 0-3 start. And C.J. Stroud, whether he was in the lineup or out of the lineup and helping the backup quarterback, et cetera, has to buy into that. Now, what we've seen in recent weeks or in recent starts for him, it seems like he does. He recognized Nico Collins as an automatic mismatch with his size, the bigger receivers. He's putting it in positions where those guys can go and make plays, and they're leaning more on their running game, and he's living for fourth down, flip the field, punt the ball to the other offense, and let the defense work its magic. If that's going to be a way for them to make the playoffs and make some noise in the AFC South, so be it. And I think he has to be the guy that has to buy into that. However, what we've seen time and time again over the course of the last 7-plus years has been the inability of opposing quarterbacks that face Patrick Mahomes to go out on the field and execute a game plan that doesn't allow them to try to outshine Patrick a little bit. Like, we've seen that time and time again where the quarterbacks, they can't help themselves. Yeah. They can't help themselves but to want to showcase that, hey, I'm as good as 15 across the field. We've even seen coaches go against the game plan because they want to showcase that they're better than Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So I think that would be a severe misjudgment by D'Amico Ryans and the Houston Texans, especially coming in here with the weather the way it's supposed to be and how we have the 12th man with the fans. Like, we can hope that he tries to go and air it out. That would not bode well for them. But I think if they stick with their game plan that's gotten them to this point, protect the football and let the defense work its magic, then we're going to have a really, really tough time.
Are you with me, Dana, I guess, on the defense at least, where I don't think Spags has lost his magic touch? I think if you have four down linemen who can't get pressure, the blitzes don't work the same. Because when you blitz, if those guys aren't also helping contribute to the pressure, there's almost sometimes I like the call from Spags fine, and that the pressure is not getting there, not his fault, I guess, in some sense, especially in those, like, third and longs against Dallas. Where do you think the pass rush has gone wrong? Is it just that the players aren't coming up? Do you think the scheme's been caught up to a little bit? Where do you think the issues are?
I think it's all on the players. I don't besmirch the name of Steve Spagnuolo now. I don't think that he is washed up. I don't think that anybody's figured him out. I think it's all on the players, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Four down linemen, Charles Omenihu, Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, George Karloftis, if you rotate Jerry Tillery in there, Mike Pinnell, a semblance of four of those guys got to get to the quarterback. What teams are doing is basically they're saying, we don't believe that you can get to our quarterback with four. We're going to stop our running back in the backfield to protect just in case you blitz. And whether it's Shamari Connor, Trent McDuffie, Nick Bolton, Drew Tranquil that's blitzing, we'll have that running back there to help clean things up, because we still don't believe that the four guys up front are going to get to the quarterback. And if by chance you don't blitz, then we're just going to leak that running back out and hit him as an outlet in case the quarterback is under duress. Like, that's literally the offense that we've seen week in and week out, whether it's the Broncos, the Colts, or even last week with the Cowboys. So if the four down linemen don't get the job done, then we're going to be swimming upstream like we have all season long. That's literally been the game plan against our defense. And I'd like for those guys to take that challenge personally. Like, we need more from the defensive line, because everything, every success that we could ever have on our defense is literally predicated on the front four. Trent McDuffie does not get those pass interference calls. Neither does Jalen Watson. We don't have the issues downfield if the front four guys are doing their job and wreaking havoc like we've seen them do in the past.
Do you find it hard to imagine a world in which they can still win five games in a row, or are you having a hard time quitting this team like some of us?
I think this game is huge. I feel good about the games at home. We've played our best football when we've been at home at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. It's Sunday night football. Everything is on the line. We have tiebreaker implications. We have playoff lives implications, and we got to get the job done. Once we get this job done, then I feel really good about the rest of the games being the opponents that we play. Obviously, the huge one will be Christmas night against the Broncos, because they'll still have something to play for in regards to a number one seed. So they're going to come in here with a willingness. If we're able to run the gambit up until that point, they're coming in with the mindset of solidifying a number one seed, a bye week, and slaying the dragon of the Chiefs and putting us in our coffins for the year. And that's a lot of incentive for a divisional rival to come in. So our hands will be full then, but we get past this week against the Texans. I feel like there's going to be a boost in energy, a boost in confidence, especially if we're able to do it with our offense against that defense.
So that was Dane and Hughes earlier today. The only part that I asked that I guess I slightly disagree with, I get his point about, like, if you're a player, you believe, hey, I'm a backup, I can do just as well as a starter.
I'm as good as anybody.
I totally agree with that. My only thing, and that's why I followed up, was just that I think, though, if I'm Andy Reid and I'm Matt Nagy, game plan going in and in-game adjustment, I have to adjust my scheme. If I think I'm going to be weaker at, let's say, left tackle, that might cause me to call a game differently. That was all I was trying to say for the coaching end. Player end, totally, yeah. I mean, Wanye Moore should think he's going to go out there and kill it. I mean, that should be his mindset. I sure as heck hope it's his mindset.
But they have to know that there's a chance it's going to go south, and they need to have – if they want to go win in the first couple of drives, run their offense like it's the offense, it's fine. But you better have a break glass in case of emergency plan, in case Wanye Morris is getting beat badly on every snap, whether that be a different player or extra protection or rolling it out or all the stuff we talked about that you can do. Just have a plan. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, we already said it a few times today, but it's as much as we've focused on the O-line, it's more – C.J. Stroud, it's been an unimpressive offense. So can you keep them unimpressive?
Yeah.
And can you keep your offense that might struggle? Can you keep your offense in the game? Because defensively, you're able, even with the lack of pressure, to not allow the Texans to get touchdowns. The Texans are an offense that will settle for field goals. They will settle for field goals. And that's even in a game like this, that's not going to get you. So that's where I'm, you know, banking on if you're trying to find the path for a victory for Kansas City. It's going to be about the Chiefs defense not having much issue with C.J. Stroud and their offense. Yeah. Not that I think that the Chiefs' offensive line is just going to protect Mahomes amazing all day. No, they're going to get to Mahomes at times.
And like I said earlier, I think when we were first talking about in the show, is I think a big, huge key of the game is, can you get ahead? And I know that that's not every game, and the Chiefs have played from behind better than any team in NFL history, honestly. But can you get ahead? Because if you're down 10-3 in the third quarter, 10-7, like, and Houston knows you're going to pass, good luck then. Then you got big problems versus small ones.
We're back at it tomorrow. We will be talking a little FIFA World Cup. World Cup draw is tomorrow for 2026. We all know Kansas City going to host multiple matches. We'll find out a little bit more on who potentially could be coming to Kansas City. We won't have definitive word on that, but that'll be fun tomorrow. We'll have Rob Brennan on. Speck's going to be on. Scott Parks going to be on. They're all big soccer guys here in the building and at the station. Plus, you'll hear maybe from Andy Reid at 1 o'clock tomorrow, final word on the injury front, and we'll get back into not only the Chiefs, but there's a big border showdown, a border war on Sunday at T-Mobile Arena with KU and MU, and maybe Darren Peterson, I don't know. We'll talk about it tomorrow. I hope you guys have a good rest of the day.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.